This is James Throgmorton, and today I want to talk about the age in which we live. I suppose all of us in this day and age watch some television news daily or listen to the radio or on the internet, check the news and see what's happening, and we see that the world is in a state of turmoil and that there's a lot of unrest and confusion in our own society. I think we might need to stop and analyze a little world history, because ever since Adam and Eve made the choice in the Garden of Eden to sort of go their own way and let God stay out of the picture, except to use his name, to excuse misconduct sometimes and to control people and to use people and to get money from people. That seems to be what so much of religion is about. But since man made that choice, the world has had ups and downs, and most of the time it's been down. There's very few times where, even in God's nation of Israel, that he had a group of people, a population of the nation, that would be obedient to him. We can look back to the time of Joshua and the book of Judges, and going through Chronicles and those books of the Bible that gives Israel's history, and we really only find one generation that was really guiltless from a human perspective. Not perfect, but they were loyal and obedient to God, and that is the generation that Joshua brought into the Promised Land, and they seem to have retained that for a generation. And after that, it was just ups and downs, ups and downs. And this was the nation that God was hands-on with. He sent prophets. He intervened. He protected them. He did all sorts of things. And yet it would seem, if you look at it from a pure physical human perspective, it was a failure. Modern age, because we have come so far in the last 100 years as far as technological development is concerned, and as far as what people would consider to be progress, being progressive, going forward, improving our state, knowledge and gadgets and electronic devices and automobiles and airplanes and rockets to go into space, be able to send men to the moon and all these things. It seems that the human race is progressive, that it's going forward. And the intellectuals, the people that at least perceive themselves to be in the know, will look back in history and look back to the Dark Ages and look back to the Renaissance and begin to evaluate the situation. With a lot of issues, the world has been able to stop a lot of tyrants. We've been able in the United States of America to deal with slavery and some of those things, but there's still a lot of slavery in this world today, and that is not solved. And you know, the Renaissance, the period of enlightenment, where knowledge was disseminated, that knowledge, a lot was learned in the scientific realm and the realm of art. So, of course, about 90% of the art's based on pagan false religion, so that is not really progress when you look at it from God's perspective. And so we live in a time that I think all of us are somewhat mesmerized and think that man, with the knowledge of good and evil that he took in the Garden of Eden, is going to be able to improve his situation and make a paradise, a heaven on earth, if you would. And yet, if we look at the Bible, we see that's not true. If we are honest with the news and the things that we see going on in the world today, and I don't need to go down and codify them all and list them, but the things we see going on today is frightening. You know, I'm just about 77 years old, and I live in a different world than I grew up in. It's different completely. If my dad would be, if he were alive, he'd be 114 years old right now. And he wouldn't recognize this world. If I mentioned the word laptop to him, I don't know what he would think. Maybe the closest thing he might think would be an apron or something, because the terminology is so different, so totally different today, that words that we use every day, somebody that died 40 or 50 years ago, or even 10 or 20 years ago, wouldn't have the least idea what we were talking about. And so we look at society and we think the world's improved since the Dark Ages. And by the way, we might stop and remember for a moment that the Dark Ages were called the Dark Ages historically because they were the Dark Ages. They were a period of time when man went backwards a long way. And this is a subject we could, you know, pursue and discuss in detail. We won't choose to do it today, but so much of the technology of the early humans is gone. So many things that were at one time new and exciting and very progressive for the human beings of that period are no longer relevant at all. And that's something that I don't think we think about that much. We just go about the things that are important to us. And so today I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about a bad age and a good age, and the knowledge of the bad age and the good age, and the fact that just having the knowledge of the fact that there's going to be a better age coming, a better time for the human race, is some of the best news that we will ever get. And I'm not going to go into detail and go into the book of Revelation and some of the prophecies in the Bible. And we've got all sorts of sermons and articles on the website that deal with those things. That's not my purpose today, but we know from the Word of God that there's going to come a culmination of human activity, and that the human race is going to inevitably get itself in such a bad condition, a hopeless condition, that except for the intervention of God, not a single human being would be left alive. If we'll look in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor will ever shall be." And like I say, we read the book of Revelation, and that comes home crystal clear to us in verse 22, "And that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, no one left alive. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Now, that is the gospel. That's the good news, is that God is not going to allow man to destroy the human race, that the human race is going to survive. And certainly we understand that there's going to come a point in time that God is going to just put his foot down and intervene, and he's going to force man to stop playing these silly games. I'm going to focus on his kingdom and the kingdom of God. Now, there's two parts that's very important, and I don't want to make one more important than the other, although probably the most important, because it affects more people, is the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth. And I've talked about this a lot of times, establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. Christ's model prayer, and I'm repeating myself of things I've said in, I don't know how many messages I've given in the last year or so, but it's an important thing that in that model prayer, in fact, I think I probably mentioned this in my last recorded sermon. In fact, I'll use another scripture so that I use, because to me, they're the focal point, the thing that's really important, and that is the fact that Christ, in his model prayer, prayed for the kingdom of God, because that is the solution. You know, we see all sorts of charities. We have everybody out with their hand wanting money. I operate a business, and between the phone and people coming in soliciting money, for various and sundry causes, it's hard to get any work done sometimes. And if you'll investigate a lot of these charities, they're lucky if they spend 10, 15, maybe 20% of what they take in actually doing the work that they say they're doing. Because, and if there's enough transparency in the organization, if you look up the salaries of some of the executives and the people that are operating these organizations, you'll find out that they're getting well paid for their work. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned about other people. I'm just saying that things are really out of balance. And the kingdom of God is the only thing that will rectify that situation. Our form of government has given us more freedom, and I'm speaking of primarily the Western civilization, but it's given us more freedom than most people in the world have ever known. And that's a great blessing, but it's not perfect. I think it was Winston Churchill that said that democracy is a very bad form of government, but unfortunately all the others are worse. And that's true. And so when we talk about good news, the good news is the fact that God is going to intervene and establish his kingdom and establish government that's really for the people. It won't be of the people. It'll be for the people. It'll be of God, the kingdom of God. People will truly, for the first time, since Adam and Eve listened to Satan the devil, it will be the first time that mankind has had that weight lifted off his back. Now, I want to mention something, because I don't want anybody to misunderstand the importance of personal salvation. But the churches of this world have put that emphasis on it because they have played a little con game. Western pagan-based Christianity has played a little con game on people in promising the fact that if they listen to them, if they let the contribute to them and listen to their religious product, whatever it might be, because there's a lot of them, that somehow they won't go to hell and they'll get to go to heaven, or they'll get financial blessings or this or that, something else, because they supported some con man that was simply in the business of, well, the business of two things that religion liked to do to people. And it's not a lot different than the old witch doctors, I don't guess. They can save you from going to hell. And of course, the subject of heaven and hell is well covered on our website via sermons and articles that, and most of the people listening to my voice now certainly understand that what the Bible teaches about eternal punishment and or age-lasting punishment and the reward of the saved. You know, I've had people walk up to me on the street, people come in my business and, you know, would basically in their arrogance say, "Are you saved?" And in Matthew 24 and verse 22, it said that except God shorten the days, there should be no flesh saved. Well, there's two parts of salvation. Like I say, traditional Christianity, traditional Western pagan-based Christianity, so we can identify what we were talking about. And unfortunately, I think even a lot of the Church of God have a tendency to be concerned more with their own skin and their own salvation than they are the salvation of the entire world, the salvation of all mankind. And I'm in no way taken away from personal salvation, because that is something that God deals with us on an individual basis, one-on-one. Nobody between you and God to deal with your personal salvation. It's just you and God. And so I'm not taken away from that, but I'm taking that the focal point of the Bible, the focal point of the Bible is the intervention of God in man's affairs, the binding of Satan the devil, and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. If we'll look in the book of Revelation, and I'll turn there for just a moment, is that in Revelation 12, which is just a very interesting chapter in the book of Revelation, and I'll try not to get off my subject and try to explain the whole chapter, which is my tendency to do. We'll look in verse 15, and this is when the seventh angel sounds, or the last trump, like the Apostle Paul said, talking about the resurrection, that the seventh trump sounds. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the real gospel. And certainly personal salvation is part of that. The opportunity to qualify to be in the first resurrection is part of that. But the focal point and the real good news, the gospel of the kingdom, that's the gospel of the kingdom, is the fact that God is going to intervene to stop man from destroying himself And I want you to, I want us just to stop and think for a moment how that's going to come to pass. We saw in Matthew 24 again, and I don't have a lot of scriptures today, but in Matthew 24, there was great tribulation. If we go ahead and read the book of Revelation and get up to the point of that seventh trump, we can see that the earth is in bad condition. Wars, probably nuclear wars. We're living in this age, we would assume some of that's going to happen. Satan is going to have great wrath, and there's going to be turmoil. And can you imagine? None of us can really imagine. You know, it's sort of exciting to read the book of Revelation and some of the prophecies of the Bible, but can you imagine how much terror is going to be in the hearts of men when that happens? The inhabitants of this earth are going to be in such a dire condition. No green trees, no water, no food, indescribable things. And yet the people that have the knowledge that we're talking about, the simple thing, the gospel, the knowledge that God is going to cut it short, that he's going to set up the kingdom of God, that Christ is going to rule 1,000 years, and that there will be no hurt in his holy mountain. I'm going to close today with the scripture that, man, I read it so often that I'm sure that people get tired of it. But to me, it's the most important scripture in the Bible in many ways, because it's the Creator God giving us a challenge. And it is the gospel. It's the gospel. It's our only hope. You're not going to be able to elect somebody or get behind some movement or get yourself an army and try to straighten things out. That's not going to do it. One thing that's going to straighten this world out, and that's Almighty God himself, the great Creator God, the Eternal. And that scripture that I said is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the good news. And boy, is that going to be good news to people that are living in the tribulation. Today, we scoff it off because we're pretty comfortable. We're pretty comfortable. We, you know, all of us get sick from time to time. People die. The cycle of life just goes on. And we're concerned about ourselves primarily, and that's human nature. But the real good news to those people, the thing that they're going to really hold on to while they have to wait until that seventh trumpet sounds, is this, what we would find in Isaiah 46. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. This will be getting to the end of God's plan. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling the prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it. I will also do it. Now, if you have any faith in God at all, and if you believe that the Bible is his word, then that's his decree of all of us, is the fact that he's not going to go away and allow mankind to be destroyed, that he is going to intervene. And that's good news. That's the best news that you can ever hear. It's good news to us today, but in the tribulation, if you find yourself alive at that time, and none of us know when that's going to be, but I'll tell you one thing, it's sooner than it was 30, 40 years ago, or we don't know when it's going to be. But if you find yourself in that tribulation and you find a hopeless situation, if you can remember God's word that indeed I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it, I will also do it. That's an absolute. And that's the gospel. This has been James Throgmorton speaking to you for the Churches of God.